Welcome to The Issue Is, Fox 11's new political show, talking what's hot, what's important, what's affecting you. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, The Issue Is, the race for governor. Republican John Cox is surging in several recent polls. He's with us here tonight. Plus, the issue is race in America. Congressman John Lewis, a civil rights icon, and Representative Karen Bass speak with me about racism and activism in the Trump era. And hot topics with our panel, Seema Mehta of the LA Times, legendary publicist Howard Bragman, and KFI's outspoken radio host Tim Conway Jr. Ding dong! The issue is starts right now. And thank you so much for joining us. I'm Alex Michelson, and a huge political week. We begin with fireworks and narrowing polls in the race for governor. For months, many have thought the frontrunners would be Democrats Gavin Newsom and Antonio Villaraigosa. But you may be surprised to hear that this is what the race actually is right now. Democrat Gavin Newsom, Republican John Cox, who's been number two in several recent polls. Remember, the top two candidates, regardless of party, advance after June 5th. Joining us now is Republican John Cox, a businessman living in Rancho Santa Fe who's earned about $200 million. First off, congratulations on that.
Thank you. Well, I started with nothing, Alex, so it's good to, I'm proud of it.
Thanks so much for being here. We appreciate you having me.
Thank you for having me.
All right, let's start this conversation off with a bit of news this week from the LA Times, and they had a big endorsement for one of your opponents, actually.
Yeah.
LA Times throwing its support to Antonio Villaraigosa in an editorial titled, "Antonio Villaraigosa Showed Political Courage in Hard Times. He Should Be California's Next Governor." The editorial states that Villaraigosa is a complicated character with a big ego and a thin skin. Still, he's the best choice in the field. And about you, Mr. Cox, the Times states, wealthy Republican businessman John Cox has no experience in government other than failed bids for office in Illinois and unsuccessful ballot initiatives in California. So what's your response to that? Why are they wrong, and why is this time going to be different?
I've been in the private sector, Alex, for 40 years. I've dealt with every agency in government from the private sector side. And I think, actually, that's better experience than actually being in government. You know, my opponents are all politicians, and they're used to talking. I've been doing for 40 years, and when you have to get results, when you have to put your name on a loan or sign a check, a payroll check, or meet a budget, and your own rear end is on the line, it really focuses the mind. These politicians are all used to saying what they're going to do, and really it's the taxpayers that are doing it, not them.
But you've tried to be a politician before. If you couldn't win before, why are you going to win now?
I've been running against corruption my whole life. And let me tell you, this state is a second to none in terms of corruption. The special interests are who control Sacramento, and Mr. Newsom and Mr. Villaraigosa are Exhibit A in terms of the special interest.
Well, you've also criticized Jerry Brown fairly often.
Absolutely.
Today, some news on his front saying that there's $8 billion
Please.
In extra money that he didn't know existed. First off, isn't that proof that he's doing a good job? And what do you do with that money if you were governor?
Bernie Madoff is wondering why Jerry Brown isn't sitting in the next cell. And I'll tell you why, Alex. Because Jerry Brown and the Democrats in Sacramento have been lying to the people of California about the unfunded pension debt. Our pensions are only funded to a little bit over 60%. That means there's a $1 trillion liability out there that's waiting. Meanwhile, they are wasting money. The road system, California spends four times what Texas does to build a mile of road. Yeah. We spend three times what Nevada does to house a prisoner in the state.
Yeah.
The waste and mismanagement in Sacramento is positively epic, and I've been in business for 40 years, and that's gonna change.
Do you really think that Jerry Brown should go to jail?
I think he's been lying to the California people about what our unfunded liabilities are. You know, you only have a surplus if you don't record certain liabilities.
Yeah.
We have a tremendous liability for unfunded pensions. We also have a retiree health care debt that's nowhere on the books.
So what do you do about that if you're governor?
We tell the people the truth. We have transparency. I mean, Jerry Brown and the Democrats have fought transparency on the high-speed rail. They have fought transparency on the Delta tunnels. They have fought transparency on infrastructure and roads and the forests. They don't want people knowing what they're spending their money on and wasting the taxpayers' resources.
So
that's going to stop, too.
So full transparency, let's talk about President Trump. You didn't vote for President Trump. You voted for Gary Johnson. Was that a mistake? Did you make a mistake by not voting?
Yes, because I wasn't sure that he was a conservative. But I tell you what, President Trump has acted like a conservative. I mean, better than Reagan. I mean, he's cut taxes. He's cut regulations. He has appointed conservative judges. He is addressing the foreign policy hotspots around the world.
So you'd have a good relationship with him as governor of California.
We need to work together. All political leaders work together, and that's what I'm hoping to do with Washington.
Let's go to our issue called the policy issues. These are some issues that aren't getting enough attention. I've got some of them here. Climate change, sexual harassment, marijuana education. You pick one.
I just, at random here.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So what is it?
Water. Do California farmers use too much water and they need more regulation? And we have more than enough water if we stored it. I mean, California has had droughts and wet years all throughout its history. The California Water Project is great, but it's been destroyed in the last 20 years because we're tearing down reservoirs instead of building new ones. We also need to do more in terms of recycling water. We also need to do more in terms of desalination. We built a desalination plant down in Carlsbad. It took three times as long as it should have because of the trial lawyers, and it also was about three times the budget, which ends up coming out of the consumers' pockets because all that additional cost ends up in their water bills, and that's wrong.
All right, let's have some fun, right? This next segment is called The Personal Issues. This is to give people a chance to get to know you a little bit better. These are some fun questions.
All right.
You got 30 seconds up on the clock, and this is to get to know you. All right, so let's start with a favorite book.
Favorite book, Free to Choose by Milton Friedman.
First concert.
America. And an undercard was Bruce Springsteen that day.
That was my first concert. Favorite newscaster.
Well, Alex, of course, you.
There we go. Favorite vacation spot?
I would say Mexico. Love to go to Mexico.
Potato chip or tortilla chip?
Oh, I used to own a potato chip company.
There you go. Sushi or steak?
Steak. I'm not into sushi.
Favorite fictional character?
Oh, I would say Dr. Doolittle.
Favorite superhero?
Superman, of course.
Okay.
I grew up in the age of Superman. Watching it on television.
So do you see yourself as Superman coming into California?
Well, I see myself as someone who is representing the taxpayers and the consumers of the state who are living in a state that's virtually unaffordable. The housing costs, the electricity, the gasoline, the tax burden that we have. I'm going to do something about that.
Let's talk for a moment. It's Mother's Day weekend. Let's talk for a moment about your mom.
Okay.
I think we've got a picture of your mom.
Okay. Oh, really?
And,
oh, that's cool.
I know last time we talked, you said that she was a Kennedy Democrat. You grew up doing impressions of JFK.
First of all,
I'd love to hear your JFK impression.
Oh, that's okay.
And what was the main thing that your mom, the main thing your mom taught you?
Public service. She taught me that I can make a difference. This is a woman who got her second master's degree in Spanish literature and went down to Chile to teach illiterate children in the 40s, a single woman. She taught me that one person can make a difference, and that's why I've run for office, to get rid of corruption and to make life better for people, and that was what she really wanted me to do.
John Cox, thanks so much. Thanks for being here.
We appreciate it.
All of the leading candidates for California governor have agreed to appear right here on The Issue Is next week. Democrat John Chung's going to be with us. And all of those same candidates recently sat for us for in-depth conversations about their policies and their biographies, including more about John Cox's mom. You can download The Issue Is podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Up next, Congressman John Lewis and Congresswoman Karen Bass talk about racism and activism in the Trump era. Stay with us. Morehouse College Glee Club is singing perhaps the best-known anthem of the civil rights movement, a song that boosted morale during the chaotic years of struggle and sacrifice. Welcome back to The Issue Is. When it comes to the issue of race in America, John Lewis has been at the heart of almost every key discussion for more than six decades. I spoke with the Georgia congressman during a recent SoCal visit alongside his Democratic colleague, Karen Bass.
There are forces trying to take us back to another time and another place.
Democratic Congressman John Lewis talks racism and activism in South LA.
But we didn't give up. We didn't give in. We kept the faith and we kept our eyes on the prize.
We spoke exclusively with the civil rights icon during his recent tour of the Community Coalition, a local group focused on activism. Now, Congresswoman Karen Bass co-founded the organization back in 1990.
His legacy is Community Coalition.
In his 20s, John Lewis became a top deputy for Martin Luther King Jr. Lewis helped organize 1963's March on Washington. and successfully lobbied for 1965's Voting Rights Act. During multiple decades in Congress, Lewis celebrated the election of America's first African-American president and publicly criticized President Donald Trump's rhetoric when it comes to race.
Where do you see the state of race in America right now?
As a nation and as a people, we made progress. We come a distance, but we still have a great distance to go. The scars and stain of racism are still deeply embedded in the American society. We have a lot of work to do.
I think we have taken some definite steps back, but let me tell you what completely inspires me. Charlottesville, Boston, you saw tens of thousands of people out protesting against the increase in racism.
I think the young people, our children, are gonna help us get there. Because they've been reading the words of Dr. King, that hate is too heavy a burden to bear.
What do you think Dr. King would think of this particular moment in history?
Dr. King would say, be brave, be courageous, be bold, stand up, speak up, and speak out, and help redeem the soul of America.
Over decades of nonviolent protests, Lewis has been arrested 45 times. In 1965, he was viciously beaten while crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Lewis's story, portrayed in the Oscar-winning film, Selma.
What gives you the strength when you're being attacked, when people are throwing stuff at you, when people are calling you names?
We studied. We had a wonderful, wonderful teacher by the name of James Lawson, who lived here in Los Angeles. Every Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m., as students, he taught us the way of love, taught us the philosophy and the discipline of nonviolence. He taught us to study the life of Gandhi. We couldn't deviate from that. So when people were beating us, or pouring hot water, or hot coffee, or spitting on us, we looked straight ahead. And we knew deep down within that we were going to have a victory.
And Congresswoman Bass, I assume that you studied Congressman Lewis as one of the people that was one of your main inspirations.
One of the most important things I get from him on a daily basis is the persistence, the commitment, the dedication, and the true love for people. That comes across with him everywhere he goes.
So we got it going on at the Freedom School.
The young people at Community Coalition perform for the congressman. Some of them recently spoke at the March for Our Lives in Washington, D.C. They say Lewis has inspired a life filled with activism.
I feel more than honored. I feel more than lucky. I feel blessed to be here, to be in this place, to see these young people.
What do you see as your legacy, as the lesson you want everybody to take from your life that you pass on to all these kids?
I said to young people and people not so young, I just tried to help out. Just trying to help out. Trying to make a contribution.
Thank you all very, very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
And what a contribution he's made. Our thanks to Representatives John Lewis and Karen Bass and the folks at the Community Coalition. And since Lewis has spent his life fighting for the right to vote, it's a good time to remind you that some vote-by-mail ballots are already arriving for the California primary election in June. The deadline to register to vote is May 21st, and Election Day is June 5th. And speaking of that election, up next we're going to talk about that election with our panel. There they are. Hi, guys. We've got Seema Mehta, Howard Bragman, KFI's Tim Conway Jr. They're in the green room right now. They join us live next. And welcome back. Time to talk to our panel. Seema Mehta's here, one of the main political reporters at the LA Times on the governor's race. We got Howard Bragman, a legendary publicist in this town. And we've also got Tim Conway Jr.
Ding
from
dong.
KFI. Ding dong.
Let's go.
Ding dong. Let's go. All right, let's talk about the governor's race. We just had John Cox here saying that Jerry Brown should be in jail next to Bernie Madoff. What did you make of what he said, and where do you see the race right now?
What we heard today was a lot of what we've heard on the campaign trail from John Cox, and he's clearly targeting Republican voters, trying to get Republican voters to consolidate behind his candidacy, because he needs that to get it, you know, to place in the top two in June and move on. The question is, can he, you know, he has some money. but he was unable to get the endorsement of the California Republican Party this past weekend. So it's an open question of whether he will be able to consolidate that vote.
Yeah, Tim, what do you make of that? Travis Allen also fighting hard for that vote as well.
Yeah, well, he's a Republican in California, so he's a shoo-in. I don't even know why we're discussing it. But I also vote for chaos. So whoever's going to take down the border, raise our taxes, and make it more impossible to live in California, I'd like to see that while I'm alive.
Okay.
The state going to the toilet looked like Venezuela.
You know, this week we had a debate, and the biggest moment in the debate was Travis Allen, the Republican, taking on Gavin Newsom over the issue of his affair years ago, and also Antonio Villaraigosa talking about his affair. Let's show that, and then let's get a reaction on the other side.
The question is very simple, ladies and gentlemen. If you can't trust Gavin with his best friend's wife, how can you trust him with your state?
I was honest about it. I was open about it. I apologize for it. I was wrong. And I've learned an enormous amount from it. And I'm a much better person as a consequence.
I stand with the Me Too movement. And I also acknowledge that I made a mistake. I lost my marriage. I lost my family for a time. I took responsibility for it.
Howard, what'd you make of that? Is that the way to answer that?
I think that's the way to answer it, but I think it's a little naive to think that people really care. I think we are so kind of numb from the national politics and affairs and what's going on. This actually seems a little quaint,
yeah,
in a certain sense, and it's hard to think that it's really going to get traction. And you know, I want to go back to John Cox one second. I thought, a lot he says is rational. A lot of it's true, to talk about the budget and the commitments and the pensions. And I think it's really important. And you have a chance to take some moderate Democrats with you. As soon as you start talking about putting Jerry Brown in jail, you've lost those moderate Democrats. And I'm not sure that's the right positioning for him.
Yeah, I mean, how do you balance that? Because he talked about the fact that he didn't vote for Donald Trump, but now saying on the show that that was a mistake, that he should have done something different. It seems like he's going hard right.
Right, he absolutely is. And I mean, it's sort of interesting because at first, when he first started campaigning, he often talked about how he was a Jack Kemp-style Republican. I don't know how many California voters remember Jack Kemp, but right. He was trying to portray this sort of more moderate, like, you know, I'm a businessman, I'm fiscally conservative, I'm personally socially conservative, but that's not my top priority. But in recent weeks and months, we've really seen him, you know, really highlight, you know, whether it's a sharp approach on immigration, a conservative approach on immigration, an embrace of Donald Trump. We've seen him embrace the sort of right wing of the party as he tries to consolidate that Republican vote again.
Yeah, and as Donald Trump has been sucking up so much of the oxygen,
right,
people haven't really been paying attention to this governor's race. Let's talk about President Trump for a moment. A big week for President Trump. Pulling out of the Iran deal and also having this North Korea summit announced, getting the prisoners back from North Korea. Tim, how do you feel Donald Trump is doing right now?
Well, now he's got three Koreans that will vote for him, right? That's always a positive.
Right.
Getting back
Korean-Americans.
So that
sorry.
They vote.
Sorry, yeah. I apologize. And I'll be on the apology tour for that for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
getting back to Villaraigosa, I ran into him at the racetrack. And I said to him, I said, hey, Antonio, I know when you were mayor, we said some crazy things about you. You know, I'm just doing my job, you're doing yours. And he said, yeah, that's fine. I'm starting to walk away. And he says, the one thing you said that bothered me was when you said that I did more damage, Villaraigosa did more damage to the city of Los Angeles than Al-Qaeda did. I'm like, maybe a little over the top, like John Cox.
Yeah.
But then again, that's what you got to do. You got to be over the top. Look at Donald Trump. That's how he won.
Yeah. What do you think?
But we live in this world where that tape and that moment is going to be used. If Cox is lucky enough to be running against, say, Gavin, all of a sudden Gavin's going to use that where he says, put Jerry Brown in jail, who was elected by millions of votes four times in the state of California. It's really stupid to think it's not going to come back and bite you in the butt.
All right.
That's what they said about Trump for
years. And he's still president. All right. Thank you guys very much. Our panel isn't done just yet. Join us for the bonus issues online, including rating some of the really kind of strange recent political ads. Go to my Facebook page, YouTube page, just to watch right now. In addition to the Issue Is podcast, we'll be right back to wrap things up. Welcome to Bonus Issues. This is where we get to talk a little bit more about some of the big issues online. We're on YouTube, Facebook, podcasts. We're all over the place right now. And we've got Seema Mehta here from the LA Times, who is covering the governor's race, I think, better than anybody else. Job well done. Howard Bragman, a mentor of mine, a friend of mine, legendary publicist. He's done everything from the Lewinsky's to Scaramucci to every big story. He's in the middle of it. And we got Tim Conway Jr.
Who's a publicist covering the governor's race.
Yes, one of the most popular radio shows in LA. LA. Well, great to have all you guys here.
Thank you.
Tim Conway Jr. Show, 6 to 10
p.m. I'm a TV news contributor, too. I'm kind of a journalist.
I think Alex is trying to get it in 6 to 10 p.m.
on KFI. Yes, a great show. Thank you for having me on last night.
Ding dong with you.
Ding dong. Ding dong with you. All right, let's dig a little bit deeper into the governor's race. We had some news about voter registration in California, and it shows that Republican registration is about equal to independent registration. What do you make of the future of the Republican Party in this state?
In the near term, it has major obstacles. I mean, the last time a Republican was elected statewide was in 2006, and registration has been plummeting. The party is now having problems even fielding candidates, well-known candidates for many of the statewide offices. But that doesn't mean that this is going to happen forever. I mean, Ronald Reagan was elected here, Richard Nixon was elected here before they went on to be president. So it's cyclical, but at the current moment in time, and you see this with the state party, they're really focused on down-ballot races, congressional races, legislative races.
Yeah, because we could have a situation where there's no candidate for governor and no candidate for Senate this year.
I think it's, I'm working with Scaramucci, and I'm pretty left, and he's fairly centrist, has taught me that there's a lot of people the Republican Party could be reaching, but they're not reaching. And sort of the key issues are marriage equality, women's right to choose, the environment, and sensible gun laws. And Scaramucci and I are pretty much aligned on those particular issues. And I think the Republican Party, by turning hard right in California, is really hurting whatever chance they have to have a moderate voice.
That's kind of how Arnold Schwarzenegger won, being in line on those issues. Where do you see the future of conservatism in California?
Well, Alex, with all due respect, this is the kind of crap that Donald Trump heard for a year and a half, and then he became president.
Right.
So I'm not going to say it's going to happen in California, but that's exactly what you people said for a year and a half, and Trump won, so live with it.
Although Donald Trump is sort of a singular character, and I don't know who in California could do what. I mean, who starts off with universal name ID? Who is in California has been on everyone's television sets for 10 years?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, exactly.
Right? I mean, that's somebody who is.
These are singular characters.
And how'd that work out?
Well, he got elected twice.
Right, he did. But these are singular characters, and I don't know who among California Republicans could fill those shoes right now.
Well, whoever it is, I'm sure whoever the Republican candidate is, if it is John Cox, I'm sure the LA Times will support him.
Yeah. LA Times backing Antonio Villaragosa.
Let's talk
for a moment about some of the ads. We wanted to play a couple ads and get your reaction to them.
In kindergarten, my sister and I took 3 buses to get to school. As mayor, I remembered that. And despite the recession, we built more new schools and rail lines than any city in America, added 200,000 living wage jobs, built 20,000 units of affordable housing, and nearly doubled graduation rates. I know how far a bus can take you. As governor, the life story that'll mean the most to me is yours.
Effective?
It's all lies.
It is all, it's all crap, but it's a really good ad as far as pure advertising. It's warm. It humanizes him, especially to those of us who know him.
He's on a bus he takes 3 buses to kindergarten? I don't believe that.
Well, the part is, he came in to be mayor, and the first thing he said was he's going to fix the schools, and one of the powers the mayor of L.A. doesn't have is the schools, and he never got that power, and yet he's taking credit for changes in the schools.
He doubled the graduation rate.
I think that's half true. I mean, he tried to take control of the district. He wasn't successful, but he did get control of a handful of schools, and the graduation rates at those schools did go
up. It was interesting in your paper's endorsement today, the very things that he went in office and said he was going to do, he failed miserably. Right. It was the other things that propped him up.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think the ad, it's also a reminder for people, he left office, 5 years ago? So there's a lot of voters who don't, younger voters in particular, who have no idea who he is.
Let's look at another ad.
I don't remember the first time it happened, but I'll never forget how painful it was for my family. They threw rocks at our windows, spray painted our garage, and started fights with us on the playground. My dad came over from Taiwan in the 1950s with little money to his name. We were the first Asian American family on our block. We were taunted, ridiculed, but I remember my mom saying, "We just need to show them that we are good people." I think it's why I've always...
So that's John Chung.
What do you make of that? Oh, I thought that was Newsom's ad.
Yeah.
Very effective.
Yeah. Do you like that? Not like it?
It's not warm, and I see what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced he achieved it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's the person. He's been elected statewide so many times. Yet a lot of voters really have no idea who he is. If you said his name to a random voter in the street right now, you probably would get, you know, who's that? So I think he's just trying to introduce himself.
Yeah, and he's really struggling in the polls right now.
Right, absolutely.
But it's indicative of how great the country is. I mean, you come here with nothing, and you're running for high office like that. That is pretty cool.
All right, let's go to the personal issues. I'm going to give each of you randomly a card, and you're going to get to answer that question. What do you tell us your card and give us your answer.
Who's going to win the third race at Santa Anita? it's lunchtime, 12 to 1. Favorite fictional character? I don't know. Antonio Villaraigosa.
I thought you were going to say Mike Pence.
Yeah.
Fooled you.
Howard?
Sushi or steak? I kind of like them both, but I'm going to choose sushi a little more often, a little healthier.
Okay.
Favorite superhero? I finally saw the Wonder Woman movie and I loved it, so I'm going to go with Wonder Woman.
Okay, and last question around the table. The next big issue is Seema.
Well, we've seen a bunch of these ads like that are bio, that are positive. We're starting to see a little bit of like the negative advertising creep up, and I think it's just going to get completely nasty. And I think, you know, our TV sets are just going to be inundated. Our mailboxes are going to be filled with attacks of all of them attacking each other.
Howard?
Tim's friends on his side just can't stay away from voter fraud, and I can't wait for the Democrats in voter fraud. I know it's going to start bubbling up soon.
Tim?
More voter fraud. I like it. Yeah. No, I think there's a big issue coming out that just passed last week that new homes have to have solar on them.
Right.
And that's going to be a big issue. I think that's going to spread across the country. And I think even in the future, when you buy a home that's already a pre-existing home, they're going to make you put solar on that home. Which I think is a good idea, right? You have solar, right? I bet.
I'm not a homeowner, but my parents have solar. It came with the house, and now they pay nothing in electricity. It's great.
I see.
If you can have solar,
are you transient?
Good.
You're not going to live here. You're just renting.
He's living in the tent city to see what it feels like. Yes. To address the problem.
It's an embedded as
let's
reporter.
Let's get Alex a house.
Okay, let's end on that, guys. Thank you so
thank
much
you
for
so
coming.
Much.
Really appreciate having you, and you're all great.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. And that's the bonus
best.
Issue. We'll find out. Leave that in your comments. Tell us who you think is best, and we'll be back next week.
Ding dong.
So the issue is, ding dong.